Thank you, Councilman Gregory. We have a motion. Do I have a second to amend?
A second.
Second by Councilman Robinson. At this time, I'll ask the council for comments on the amendment only, and that's, I'm trying to figure out what section that would be, and help me out there. Would that be section 5?
I don't know, maybe we can go back to our previous ordinances, didn't it have that section in there? And I don't know what number that is, I didn't bring any of that stuff.
I do not have all that in front of me, with me either, but I would suggest it would probably be a new standalone section.
Okay.
Section 5.
Section 5, I believe, business protection measures and protocols. And EFG would be the next number item, I believe. Am I correct, City Clerk? No?
Yes.
Okay. 5G would be the new one if passed, this amendment. And this time I'll call Councilman Bell on the amendment. Second amendment.
I think I would have been in favor of this 2 weeks ago when we were looking at this. I'm going to speak against it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Coleman?
No, I'll support it at 50%. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Tungle?
Yeah, I'll be in support of this amendment.
Thank you. Councilman Nicholson?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I will be in support of the amendment as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Robinson?
Yes, thank you. I will support this, and just for the simple fact that we will be revisiting this this resolution in 2 weeks, in 2 weeks' time. So I at this point, I will support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Gregory?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I referenced what Anchorage is doing. And in Anchorage, they're only opening up at 25% capacity. In Anchorage, you can't sit at the bar. You have to be at a table. They make tables be 10 feet apart. So they actually require that they stop serving alcohol at 11 p.m. every night. So they've really cranked down on it. And so I think this is a reasonable addendum here, and that, you know, we want to err and be cautious to protect our community, and that's where I'm coming from on this. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. And to be clear, we don't have a time limit on closures on this particular amendment. It's a limit to 50% of regular working hours capacity and wearing a mask. So, with that being said, is there any further discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, I'll call vote on the amendment 5G to the main motion.
Tungle?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Gregory?
Aye.
Bell?
No.
Coleman?
Yes.
Then a vote of 5 in favor and 1 no. The amendment 5G for hospitality limit of 50% is approved. Now back to the main motion, resolution 2020-79, now as amended. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call Councilman Robinson.
Yes, thank you. I think, and I wanted to speak to this earlier. but I forgot to. The letter of concern that we got regarding the small vessels that are coming in for cod and the obvious mingling and commingling with that is basically unchecked, that needs to, I think we need to step up the enforcement on that, that portion of it. I thank the young lady for bringing that forward, that concern, but it is a concern that needs to be, you know, we need to pay attention to, because it does have the potential to create community spread. So I just wanted to say that. I think the enforcement issue is something we need to step up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For the resolution 2020-79, City Clerk, did you have anyone sign up to speak this resolution, or were there any written comments to be submitted?
Yes, sir. May I read into the record?
Yes, go ahead.
This email was submitted to the City Clerk. It is from Mr. Greg Peters, and it reads as follows. Mayor and City Council, I have a few questions related to the 14-day quarantine requirements in the city resolution. First, in State Order 5 regarding critical workforce travelers, the state order allows for workers to observe a 14-day monitored quarantine in Anchorage with COVID testing before release. After this 14-day period, workers can continue to their final Alaskan destination via safe transit to avoid being exposed to the general public. The state order says that they are not required to undergo an additional quarantine once they arrive at their final destination. This mid-travel quarantine alleviates the problem of limited available quarantine locations in Unalaska. By using this 14-day quarantine followed by safe transit, the safety of the local population is maintained. But, as it is written, the City of Unalaska Resolution does not recognize this as an option. Travelers would still require an additional 14-day quarantine upon arrival in Unalaska. Will you please consider modifying the resolution to accept this alternate quarantine method as outlined in State Order Number 5, Section 6.B. The next comment is also regarding quarantine. When an individual has tested positive, CDC and state public health guidance says that an asymptomatic person can be released as soon as 10 days after testing positive. For example, if someone tests positive upon arrival, they can be released 10 days later if no symptoms develop. This is the procedure currently being used for positive cases in Unalaska. However, this procedure is in conflict with the language in this resolution. The resolution would not allow the recovered person to leave quarantine until at least 14 days after arrival into Unalaska, even if they have been released by medical professionals on day 10 or 11. Will you please clarify the council's position on this? Thanks. Greg Peters.
Okay, thank you. If there's further comments from the written from the public? No? Thank you. Does anyone, let's see, I'll call for a roll call vote on resolution 2020-79.
Hey, Mr. Mayor?
Hello?
Mr. Mayor, it's Dennis.
Yeah, go ahead. That, Councilman Robinson.
I don't think we'd normally answer the question, but there was a specific question asked in the letter, and I just wanted to make my opinion and my thoughts clear on that, and that is that the state has always backed up the idea that the municipalities can put stricter measures in place as they as needed. And in this instance, our 14-day quarantine is, and it falls under that, that it is stricter than the state's. The CDC are guidelines that we generally follow, but it isn't anything that we give weight to as far as our 14-day requirement. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Councilman Robinson. I'll call for a roll call vote.
Mr. Mayor?
Tung.
Yes, a clarification. I asked this question before about being testing positive in the 14-day quarantine, and it says we release them after 10 days without completing the 14 days. I think that's the question that's being asked. And I was told that, yeah, CDC guidance released them after 10 days being positive, and we still quarantine the 14 days. Is that there?
Okay, I'll ask. I'll ask the city manager or can respond.
Yeah, so there's two different topics here that are kind of being commingled. So we have the 14-day traveler quarantine, the 14-day traveler self-quarantine that council has been including in the resolutions from the very beginning. Then there's also the cases where individuals actually test positive for COVID-19 and then are seeking medical care and getting guidance from their medical team. And that's where we get in the discussions of the time period of when they should be isolating or and when they're actually infectious. And so that's when really when that 10-day time period sometimes will be mentioned. So oftentimes if individuals are released after that 10-day time period, that really means that they're no longer infectious. And so that doesn't necessarily then translate into you're released from your traveler quarantine. It simply means that, you know, you're no longer considered to be infectious. So in cases where there's no travel issue at all, and you know the individual has acquired it, has acquired the virus in other ways, then you would be solely following the advice and guidance of your medical team. But that doesn't, you know, but if you are, you know, if it's travel related, then you still fall under the requirement for the traveler self-quarantine. I hope that makes sense.
Does that answer you, Councilman Tungle?
Yeah, so if it's travel related, you still complete the 14 day. Even when you tested positive, you still got not releasing after 10 days.
That's correct. That's correct. And I think it's important for everybody here to acknowledge and just to be aware that, you know, we're throwing out 10 days and 14 days. The 14 days is a very clear cut time period that's related to the traveler self-quarantine. Once we get into the world of somebody who's actually has tested positive for COVID-19, that really then turns into that isolation period or that time period really becomes defined with the patient themselves and with their healthcare provider, obviously with CDC guidance, but that time period really gets defined privately with the patient and the provider.
Councilman Coleman.
And you guys thought this was going to be a short meeting. So I guess I now don't understand why there's a difference. Because so if someone travels, they come in day one, they're required by their the workforce plan that they come in and test, and boom, they're positive. So are they no longer then a traveler? I mean, because then if they fall under the possibility of you're positive and then 10 days later you can be, I think that's the question, is that someone who comes in, they test positive, are they still fall under the 14-day traveler, even though their physician may release them within 10 days?
So this, I'm going to try to respond to that, and I'm also going to acknowledge that there are probably endless scenarios that we can create here, and I am not a healthcare provider, so I will not be able to address all of those. But I will say, I think I'm answering your question when I say if it's within whatever happens within that 14-day time period, that 14-day time period, they are still to be quarantining. If we're talking about industry where they're able to work during that quarantine time period, then that's, you know, and they're testing positive, then we're kind of have layers of interesting discussions that we could have. But I think that's answering your question. I mean, so they would still have to follow that 14-day time, that 14-day quarantine. If they're being released to work, then in certain circumstances, they potentially could go to work. And I think now we're getting into the world where Melanie might need to chime in a little bit. But again, I don't think we're going to be able to satisfactorily that's not even a word, but we're not going to be able to answer every specific situation at this point right now, because a lot of it depends on the details of the actual infection and the timing. So with the mayor's permission, I'm going to ask Melanie to see if she has anything additional to add.
Yes, go ahead.
Melanie, are you on the line?
Melanie, if you're talking, we can't hear you.
I think her phone is muted.
Is she in there? She's just not responding.
Yeah, she's here. We're just waiting for her to get properly unmuted.
On the Zoom platform, she is probably already
muted. All right. Hi, Melanie.
There we go.
We're ready for you to speak if you'd like to go ahead.
Can you hear me now? Sorry.
We can.
Apparently, there are three levels of unmuting. So in response to the question about how the 14 days marries up with a 10-day after a positive test, Aaron did a very nice job of that. The 14-day traveler quarantine stands regardless if somebody is coming into Unalaska, even if they test positive during that time. They're instructed on both, and I do much of that instruction myself, so if I can share with you what that looks like. There's two different things. So if I'm instructing somebody on how long they're likely to be contagious, I will give them that date range. And that's the 10-day window from the positive test or from start of symptoms. But that doesn't trump the local mandate. So they're also instructed on, you know, the fact that they need to continue in their quarantine state until the 14 days is complete. There are many other cases where, you know, somebody is positive and they're not in the traveler quarantine, and that it will be, you know, simply the 10 days. And the reason for the difference with the traveler quarantine, why is that 14 days rather than 10 days? And it's because with exposure during travel, it can take a couple of days for the virus to build up in the system and be detectable. People are considered contagious a couple of days before they develop symptoms, and oftentimes up to 2 days before they can test positive. And so that's the reason for the 14 days, which has been standard CDC guidance since the beginning and continues. Does that help?
So
thank you.
It helps, but I do want to, as we move farther in this and more population, greater amount of the population becomes infected, and we need to really start introducing and looking at that as part of our mandates. How do we treat people? Are we allowed to, again, you go back to the 30-day immunity, maybe need to look at that again and better as more people are testing positive with this and how it affects our community. And that being said, the safe travel, basically if somebody is quarantining either mid-travel or post-travel and have safe, you know, get the safe travel option into on Alaska. There's reference to them having to quarantine by the state mandate, I mean by our mandate. I want to be very clear that that is what is expected of anyone who follows the state health orders on that, and that when they come here, they are required to follow our mandates. Is that what is being told to these to passengers and people who come in under that umbrella?
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Councilman Gregory?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Melanie, while you're on the line, could you let us know how many people in Alaska have been vaccinated? And if, well, just if you could answer that question first.
Oh, I should have prepared for that. It's over 40. Vaccination is going well. I don't have the count off the top of my head. But again, it's going very well. We're addressing phase 1A, tiers 1 and 2, and we'll be opening up to the next level, tier 3, next week. So we have some additional vaccine coming this week that will be administered to or opened up to medics in other settings outside of hospitals and clinics and outside of EMTs. So it's going very well. We have Moderna vaccine, so we have about half of our initial batch. And then another 100 doses coming. And so that is the first dose for individuals, and then the state will provide us the second dose on the appropriate time frame to vaccinate the second dose at day 28 for each of those individuals. Our reactions also have been pretty minor thus far, so we've been very pleased with how that has rolled out.
Right, thank you. And what are the challenges? Is it the supply of vaccine?
Yeah.
Is it workers to administer the vaccine?
Yeah, at this point, we really have very few challenges. The state has gotten more vaccine than they had anticipated at this point. So I expect they're going to be able to ramp up the layers, the phases, a little faster than they had initially anticipated, which if it, you know, closer to being accessible to anyone who wants it. But that is going fairly well. We have been able to receive our supplies without any difficulty. Ours is able, it comes in frozen, is able to be refrigerated, so we have an appropriate amount of storage for it. It's good for 30 days after we receive it. There's some timing challenges with once you puncture a vial that needs to be administered within a fairly tight timeline. So scheduling is important to make sure we scheduled properly to get the right amount of people present so that it's good and that we don't waste any. So that part, again, is a challenge because there have been some reactions to the Pfizer vaccine and likely to Moderna, though we haven't seen it. We also are monitoring patients for 15 to 30 minutes after, depending on the risk factors. So that is a little bit of a logistical shift. You know, can't really be a drive-through scenario the way we had hoped with monitoring afterwards needing to be done. But all in all, you know, we have adequate staff. We're able to administer the supplies that we have. APIA has been wonderful. They're doing a great job with that as well. And so far so good. We really have had no real challenges.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for the good work.
You're welcome.
Hey, Mr. Mayor.
Councilman Robinson.
Yes, a question for Melanie. I've been asked about this, and I told them to call the clinic, but how do people get on a list to get a vaccine? And I can assume that you're going to answer, call the clinic.
That is a good way to go. So yes, they would call the clinic. We have, internally have been looking at our own tiers, risk factors within patients, ages of patients that we serve, and we've done a bit of our own prioritizing. Other individuals who, you know, have reason to need to be higher on that list have called. discuss with their provider, you know, where they should fall in that priority order. And so we are taking note of those as well. At this point, the state has been quite prescriptive with who it goes to on what timeline, and we're following that, and we have to follow that. And so far, they've done a really good job. But as that expands and opens up to additional people, they will have additional criteria as well that we'll need to follow. So it'll be a little bit of time before we get to the point where we fully decide, you know, who else we can make this available to. And of course, and then opening it up to actually anyone who wants and needs it.
Right. So I guess I was asking that because there are people that are interested in getting the vaccine, but they're not immunocompromised or fallen under any of the risks that are prevalent that we're trying to address right now. But they want to get the vaccine. So that's
absolutely
what I was asking for.
Yeah, I would so definitely call the clinic and talking to their individual provider. Yeah, is a great way to have that discussion and to make sure that you're on that list. Absolutely.
Great, thank you.
You bet.
Okay. Last round. Any final comments from the council? Hearing none, I'll call for a roll call vote on resolution 2020-79 as amended.
Tungle?
Yes.
Gregory?
Aye.
Bell?
Yes.
Coleman?
Yes.
Nicholson?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
On a vote of 6-0, resolution 2020-79, as amended, has been approved. And the next time we'll address this resolution will be January 12th. Okay, we have completed all items on the agenda. Therefore, this meeting is adjourned at 6:59. Thank you very much. Good night, Unalaska, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Good night.
Good night, guys. Talk to you later.
Goodbye.